The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planning professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's been a great weekend this weekend. Hope you're enjoying it. It's the weekend after Father's Day. Sun is out. Hope you're enjoying the pool or getting outside today. We are here providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. This is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial, and we are here each and every Sunday like we are for the past 10 plus years. Hard to believe. From 8 to 9 a.m., always with some stories, some information, and we've got something in store for you today that we haven't done in a while. Joining me today in studio to help me out here is my wife, Laura Friedman. Laura, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
So Laura is here to help me read some questions. Last week, we posted something up on the internet. We reached out to some folks to say, hey, what kind of questions? What's in your mind? What would you like us to answer on the radio? And many people sent in some questions, some a little more extreme than others. We'll see how many we get to. We got a whole bunch of them. And if we don't get to them this week, we'll find another week to get to them, I'm sure, because a lot of these questions that get asked, some of them are relevant for what's going on today, but some of them are just timeless and what are called evergreen questions. But so, Laura, as we get ready to do this, are you ready to start reading some of these questions?
I'm ready. Everybody else ready?
I'm ready. Okay. So all right. Well, you're still practicing reading the questions. I'm going to remind everybody about a few things. Number one, every Friday for the past 10 years, actually more than that, since 2009, March of 2009, we have been delivering a financial newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. If you'd like to get it, all you need to do is go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. Put in your name, your email address, and pretty much that's it. If you want to add some comments, you want to have some thoughts, perhaps you've got a question that you'd like me to answer on the show, you can go ahead and do that. But as soon as you sign up, you will start getting our newsletter every Friday. And I really hope you enjoy it. Hard to believe we started doing this March of 2009, long time ago. That's when we were in the financial crisis. The markets were down almost 50%. 50% the markets were down then. And since then, yes, the markets have gone up, but we've also gone through some other volatile periods of time. We went through coronavirus just a couple of years ago, where the market has been down almost 35%. And you could even say today, right now, is a pretty volatile period of time because in the first 6 months of the year, the stock market has been down close to 20%. So the question, you know, on people's minds is, what's going on? Should I be concerned? And I think, Laura, you've got our first question that comes from a reader that maybe you'd like to read the question to us, and I'll try to see if I can find some answers.
All right. So this is from Fran in Amesbury, Massachusetts, And she wrote in, my 32-year-old son works for a hedge fund, and he sent me an email with his company's thoughts on the market. It's scary. He thinks I should cash out of my portfolio and sit on the sidelines until things get better. What do you think? Now, Mark, before you can answer that, I have to read a little bit of this email. She enclosed the email that her son sent her. And I hope you can understand it better than I can, because it was a lot of gobbledygook to me. So let me read a couple of lines from this. It has some bullet proofs. It says, recession late this year or early next is likely to be on the heels of a continued Fed mistake. This has been our view since late last year. It waited too long and now are overreacting too late. The presence of at least one of three ingredients often leads to recession. One, Fed tightening, perhaps in response to inflation or asset price bubbles. Two, commodity price shocks. Or systematic financial market disruptions. The Fed is tightening, and oil prices shock is occurring. The unintended consequences on the global financial system of sanctioning a $1.7 trillion economic is unclear.
So what does that mean?
I don't...
You want to try to figure out what that means?
I can't even figure out what one phrase means, let alone a whole sentence or even a whole paragraph. There's more. Do you want more?
No. I really don't think we need more, because I think we've bored myself and our listeners to death.
I was reading it and I was bored.
Well, but not only is it boring, it can also be viewed as scary, because this is a position statement that comes from a hedge fund, one of these big, heavy trading companies. If you ever watch Billions on, I forget what station, Billions might be on HBO, And this is trading big, huge amounts of money, trying to beat the system, trading in and out and guessing and leveraging. Leveraging means borrowing money to make even more money or lose more money. And people take extreme risks. But the way hedge funds make money is when transactions occur, because they make money on the trade. So remember, when a hedge fund or any type of large institution starts to make positioning statements, they're making statements to encourage, not discourage, but encourage some type of trading activity. It doesn't necessarily have to be buying. It could also be selling. But if there's no buying and no selling, they don't make much money. So they need activity. And so what I thought was interesting, in that letter from, I think it was her name, Fran Lara?
Yes.
How old was her son?
32.
32 years old. He works for a hedge fund. And he's telling his mother, who is, I don't know, I would guess in her 60s, what to do with her money. And my guess is that the attitudes and thoughts and goals and objectives of a 32-year-old are far different from someone in their 60s and 70s. So to start taking advice from a 30-year-old who thinks he or she might know best what to do with your money when they don't know anything about your situation is faulty to start. So should we be concerned? Should we be concerned about what this letter says? No, I don't think you should, because it's another piece in the pile of junk that goes into the noise train and the noise machine to try to scare you. You need to remember something. Yes, the fact that the market is down is unsettling to a lot of folks. It's unsettling to anybody, even me. No one likes to lose money on paper. But at the end of the day, the people that are telling you what to do, especially the media channels, the news channels, the social media spots, the trading and active financial institutions, they're in the entertainment business. Yeah, they're in the entertainment business. If they just tell you boring stuff that a plane lands safely at Logan Airport, or, you know, dog walks safely to the end of the driveway without getting hit, they're not going to tell you those stories. That's not exciting or disturbing or interesting stuff. It's kind of ridiculous. So no, don't let these extreme statements scare you. Yes. Is there inflation? Absolutely. Are prices higher than where they were before? Yes. Am I concerned about the future of America and the future prospects of what people should do? Not really. Should people bail out of their investment portfolio? Well, unfortunately, the answer is it depends. It depends simply because, look, if you need your money in the next year or two, and I'm talking about all the money or a big chunk of your money, yeah, sorry, you better cash out. But shame on you for investing in the first place. Investing for the future means investing for the long term with the ability to chip off, chisel off pieces of your money to support your lifestyle. But if you're buying something or investing something with the hopes of getting a big bad return in a year or two, and it's not working out to your benefit and you need the money, well, maybe it's time to cut your losses and get out. I know it's harsh advice, but I think you all know when you listen to this radio show, we talk about financial advice in a language you can understand, and the advice that we have for planning, the advice that we have for planning is long-term, not speculative, not taking the advice to get in, get out, get in, get out. We don't do that. You shouldn't do that. Nobody should do that. Warren Buffett doesn't do it. Bill Gates doesn't do it. So why do we think we can beat the system? All right, here we are in studio. My name, once again, my name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurante on 41 Cross Street. I'm joined in studio today with my wife, Laura, who is reading off some questions that we've received from folks on just anything and everything. Really, if you have questions, if you'd like me to address them on the radio, I'd encourage you to drop me a note. Send me an email directly to mark@friedmanfinancial.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-C, at Friedman Financial, and Friedman's two E's and a D, financial.com. And just drop me an email if you'd like. All right, Laura, you ready for question number two?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, everybody's ready. Fred from Danvers asks, Mark, what's going on with gas prices? When will they stop going up? It costs over $100 to fill my tank. What do you think of President Biden's plans to start a gas tax holiday? How much money will that save me?
All right. So this is all about this gas thing. And yes, it is painful at the pump, Fred. You are absolutely right. Painful at the pump to have to pay almost twice as much as what you paid almost a year or two ago. For, in my opinion, for the most part, not much of a reason. And could it be controlled? Sure, it could have been controlled. But this desire, this absolute desire by, I guess, our government right now to push towards green initiatives has really derailed our ability to minimize the impact of gas prices at the pump. Would I like to see green initiatives come into play here in this country, whether it's solar power, wind power, all sorts of other powers? Yes, absolutely. But that doesn't happen overnight. And you can't simply say cold turkey to the oil companies that, I'm sorry, we don't want to use your stuff anymore, and we're going to find other ways for people to generate energy. It's a challenge. So look, I want to ask you a couple questions. First of all, does everybody know how you come up with a gas price at the pump? What are the components of gas prices at the pump? Well, there's a few things. First thing is the cost of crude oil. You can actually check what the spot oil price of crude oil is every day in the paper. You can see what it is. It has gone up dramatically. No question about it. Imports are more expensive because we're not bringing in any gas or fuel from Russia. We have to rely on our own and from other sources. Now, what's kind of interesting about crude oil? Did you know that the United States produces more crude oil than anybody else in the world? 20% of all crude oil production comes from the United States. However, we need more crude oil to support our economy. It's not enough. So we have to import it from other places. So if we can't get it, if we can't get it from Russia, and we have to perhaps get it from the Saudis, get it from Venezuela, get it from other places, and there's a great demand for it, they can change the price of what they want to sell it to us whenever they want. That's called supply and demand. That's basic economics. So yes, part of the price that you pay at the pump is the cost of crude oil. Second part of the price at the pump is what is called distribution costs. What does it cost to get the gas from the refineries, or get the oil from the refineries to the gas station? Now, if you live down in the South, you might notice that gas prices are a lot less than what they are up north. Now, not significantly less, they're just less. You go out to California, they're even higher. Now, that's because sometimes it takes a lot longer to get refined oil or crude oil to the places that it needs to get to. So there's a price component. But the third element, the one that everybody complains about, is the taxes, the crude oil taxes. Because both our state governments impose state crude oil taxes on using the gas station, and then there's federal taxes. Well, one of the taxes that President Biden has suggested is that he wants to eliminate, at least put a sunset on for about 3 months is the crude oil, is the federal crude oil tax at the pumps. Do you know what that accounts to, by the way? Now, when I think of a tax, I always think of percentages. You know, we're paying 5%, 10%, 12%, whatever it might be. The crude oil tax at the pump is not a percentage, it's a dollar amount. It's 18 cents. 18 cents a gallon. Let me ask you something. If you have to pay 18 cents a gallon, is that going to change your decision as to whether you pull up at the pump or not? And is 18 cents is a number that the gas prices have changed by week to week. So what if it drops 18 cents? Yes, it's a nice effort. Everybody wants to save money, and they'll tell you how much it's going to save the consumer. You know, $4 a week, X number of $1,000 a year, all that kind of stuff. But really, 18 cents, that's the solution? That's the solution. We can do better. There's got to be more thoughtful ways for us to reduce the price of gas at the pump without telling people, sorry, folks, suck it up, pay gas at the pump, or go buy an electric vehicle. You know, a little bit of harsh advice, a little strong advice, but I love these questions because these are the types of back and forth, the questions that we answer on a regular basis with our clients. I want to continue to answer these questions. We got a whole bunch more of them. Laura's going to share them with you. She's going to read them to us. We'll share them with you on the radio. But for now, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have more questions and more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, Massachusetts. I've been providing financial planning and investment management advice for almost 32 years to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area. In fact, today, 90% of our clients live or had roots within 10 miles of our office. Yeah, it's been a long time since we started. My dad started the firm in 1968. We manage money and provide financial advice to 550 households. Perhaps you'd like to join us. We've got the capacity to serve you, to help you, to give you the advice that you need. Advice that goes far beyond just what's the best investment to buy. Man, if that's all you're getting from your investment advisor, there's more to it than that, folks. You deserve better. You deserve a plan. You deserve a strategy. You need some ideas on how to understand the success path to your financial future and where provide to give it to you. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And I joke when I give this phone number out because I always ask people, ask me about the radio show that are in my business. They say, Mark, how has the radio show been for you? Has it been successful? And yes, the radio show has been successful to us because we've really served the community well by providing them with financial advice in a language you can understand. Yes, many people have reached out to become clients of our office as well. But I'll ask you this. When's the last time you actually picked up your phone and dialed the 800 number or dialed a phone number after hearing an ad on the radio? People don't do it. Nobody does it. So why do people think that, oh, because I'm doing a radio show, because I'm running an ad, that, oh, they're going to run and right now pick up the phone and call me? No. The value of doing a radio show, the value of advertising for that matter, is repetition. It's building a brand, it's building consistency, and it's building a reputation. We've been doing this radio show, believe it or not, we've passed 10 years of doing this every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. I think it's worked. I think many people have really appreciated the advice that they've gotten, and you've given us great insights as well by calling in when we are in the studio, by writing into us with questions, or even visiting our office so that we can help you achieve the financial goals and the dreams that you've always imagined. So in studio today with me, once again, is my wife, Laura Friedman. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Well, that was quick. You're always so quick and short with the answers. That's all you get. Hi. Maybe I need to be better at providing closed or open-ended questions. So, Laura, are you enjoying? No. What's it like being in the studio?
Honestly, do I have to answer that?
I just asked a question.
All right. Well, you know, we're not in studio. We're pre-taping.
All right. She's going to give it. She gave it away again. So much for the secret of us not being in studio today. We are actually broadcasting from where, Laura? Why don't you make it?
From our house.
Where in the house, Laura?
Our bedroom on the couch.
Yes. We were on the couch. We were sitting in our bedroom recording this because it's too echoey anywhere else in the house. And I'm hoping that this comes across okay without as much echo in some of the other rooms. So you're in studio here. You're reading some of the questions that we've received from some of our listeners. Why don't you throw another one at me and let's see what it says.
All right. This is from Eric from Salem, New Hampshire. Hey, they listen to you in New Hampshire too?
Yeah, they do.
Wow. So
Merrimack Valley, North Shore, Merrimack Valley, Southern New Hampshire.
Wow.
And everywhere else, because, hey, if you want to listen to us anywhere else in the world, we got people listening in India.
That's true. Your friends in India.
We got the podcasts. We've got, if you want to catch our podcast, you can find us on Apple iTunes. You can go to Podbean. You can actually go to the North Shore 1049 website and find all of our previous shows.
Bless you.
Thank you. So that is, you're talking about real live radio. Laura just, yes, I sneezed and Laura caught it.
So if you want to watch the best shows, of course, there are always the Valentine's Day show and the Mother's Day shows. I'm going to be biased, but I think those are the best ones.
Oh, here you are promoting your own shows. I give her one extra show to do, and she spends two shows out of 52 weeks to promote them. Mother's Day and Valentine's Day. Yeah, they are good shows. We have a lot of fun, and we actually have probably more listeners and more callers on that show than any other show, right?
We definitely have more callers.
Yeah, well, we certainly do it live, too. All right, what's that question you're going to read us?
All right, so Eric from Salem, New Hampshire, he is a little stressed out, I think. He says, this country is in shambles. Housing prices are ridiculous. The cost of food is outrageous. And have you seen the cost for an airline ticket? Who's to blame for this mess that we're in?
You know, everybody wants to blame somebody. You know, and about 2 weeks ago, actually, when we did this show, we started talking about who's to blame. You know, people will blame the president. They'll blame the government. They'll blame Russia and Ukraine. They'll blame Donald Trump. They'll blame anybody and everyone who's to blame. But you know, the biggest person to blame for this whole mess, the biggest person to biggest people to blame, it starts with one person. And that one person is the person you look at in the mirror every day. And you go, not me. It's just like saying, when we think about the satisfaction that people have of Congress, and we're at a level right now where Congress has basically an 11% approval rate. But that's not new. Congress has had an 11% approval rating for decades. Decades! So if it's that low, and everybody's bitching and complaining about what the problems are, yeah, I can say that word on the radio. Laura gave me this look. This isn't the FCC. They'll allow that word. Everybody's complaining about what's going on in the world. And if there's such a problem with our country, with our leaders in the country, then why don't we do something about it? Well, how do we do something about it? Well, once again, you'll hear about it again because we're getting close to the midterm elections. What we need to do is we need to go to the polls and make the changes. Well, folks, going to the polls only works if you change who you're voting for. That's the only way that it works. Because everybody will tell you how much they can't stand this politician or this senator or this congressperson or this president or this individual. They'll all bitch and complain about them. But you know who they don't complain about? Their own guy. The guy who represents them or the woman that represents them in Washington. Because the only way to make change happen is for you to walk up to the polls and vote for someone other than the person who you were voting for before. That's the way it changes. But to figure out the real person who's to blame for this mess in this country right now, I look at it squarely on all of us. I ask you this question. I talked about this a few weeks ago. How many of you that are listening to this show right now, if you're over the age of 50, I'd be curious how many of you have actually used DoorDash or Uber Eats to have a delivery product to your house or to anywhere else? Chances are, if you're over 50, you've never used those services. But if you're under 50, you have. Now, that's not to say that there's anything wrong with using those services, but those services come at a cost. And those services come at the cost of convenience. What's interesting is the generation under 50 seems to be willing to pay without blinking an eye at the cost of convenience. While we, those over the age of 50, are lining up outside on Route 1 waiting to get into Costco to save 10 cents a gallon. While we sit there, kind of ridiculously, in our car idling, wasting the cost of gas while we wait to save 10 cents a gallon. The problem is really us. Those of us that look in the mirror, what kind of world did we build for our children to believe that it's better to just pay for convenience even when you don't have the money? Because who's been funding the lifestyles of our children? We have. Who's given them the comforts of being able to go to Starbucks every week or pay for ticket prices using some of these, whether it's StubHub or paying all these convenience fees? We allow them to do that because we have created a culture for them that says convenience fees is something you can afford. Yet, as they get older, as they get into their 30s, into their 40s, and they have children, and they're both working, and they realize, oh my goodness, daycare's expensive. But meanwhile, at the same time, they're making more money than you ever imagined making at their ages back then. And they come to you and they say, Mom, Dad, how'd you like to watch the kids? How'd you like to watch the grandkids? And they set it up so that you'd be loving watching the grandkids. And you do. I think it would be great to watch the grandkids. But now it's become an expectation. Now it's become the kids just get to go away on business trips and go on vacations and all that kind of stuff. What about you? When do you get to go on the vacation? You can't because the kid said, but Mom, you can't go away. You got to watch the grandkids. I got to work. What? This is kind of a screwed up system right now. We are part of the problem. We have allowed conveniences in our life to run our lives rather than take accountability and responsibility. Look, I tell people all the time, you can complain about gas prices. You can complain about food prices. You can complain about the cost of an airline ticket and everything else. But there's a few things that you can control. That's the way we spend our money. That's the way we choose to cook and eat at home rather than going out to eat. It's how we choose to vacation. Maybe it's more local than going more elaborate places. I mean, when I was a kid, I don't know about you, Laura, but when you were, because my wife joined here by my wife, Laura. Laura, when you were a kid, how often did you and your family hop on an airplane to travel places?
I remember once, but our big vacation, we went every year. It was a great vacation. We road tripped to Syracuse, New York to visit both sets of grandparents. And that was our vacation of the year.
You mean vacations weren't to an amusement park or a water park No, it was go to visit grandparents. No.
We visited the grandparents for a week during our school vacation. And that was the only vacation we had. We did once a year in the summertime. We had two other trips. We went to the beach at Cape Cod just for the day, one Saturday of summer. And one other day of the summer, my dad used to take us all to a Red Sox game.
Okay.
That was our vacations. Grandma and Grandpa and Grandma and Grandpa. The beach one day for a one-day trip and Red Sox.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that you don't vacation, that you don't go out and see the world. I'm a big supporter, a big proponent of going out to see the world. But we have to be responsible enough to focus on the things that we can control. Folks, the younger generation spends a ton of money. And here's a secret that I'm going to tell you. And after I tell you this secret, we're going to take a break and we're going to have more questions. Look, we deal with 18 to 20 deaths a year in our office. I run into clients and I see the children of these kids that come to visit our office after the parents have died. And I see them inherit the money that they receive. And I will tell you this, they spend the money far more irresponsibly than you had ever spent the money. So here's the secret. Here's really what you need to know is that your kids are spending money. They're spending more money than they need to spend because many of them, and you're going to think this is horrible, horrible what I'm going to say, but I see it all day long. They're not worried about their future. You are their future. Your money is their future because when you're gone, it'll just help backfill whatever they need to fix, pay off, and live for their future. Kind of humbling, kind of horrible, but I think it's time we start thinking about where do we find the balance between what do we give to our kids and what kind of tough love do we offer to the kids. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Go on, take the money and run. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Money, 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 money. Run that money machine.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante at 41 Cross Street. And if you haven't tried their garlic bread yet, it is outstanding. Do you like the garlic bread, Lara?
Oh my God, it's so good. I would literally go there just for garlic bread.
Yeah, so
maybe garlic bread and a salad.
And that voice that you're hearing is my wife, Lara, who is joining me today in studio, helping me with a special project that we've been working on where we've been collecting listener questions or client questions too. They send them in and we're using them and answering them on the radio. We thought it would be kind of fun for the summer. Yeah, I know the market's been a little volatile. It's been very volatile. I'm absolutely optimistic about what the future will be. We just got to kind of take it easy for a little while. Don't do anything dramatic. But in the meantime, life goes on. We still go out. We still do things. There are questions to be asked. Things have to happen. So before we jump into the next question, Lara, I want to remind our listeners once again that we put out a newsletter every Friday. It lands in your inbox at 10:30. If you have not yet received it and joined the 7,500 other subscribers who tune in or get our newsletter every Friday, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address, hit send, and you will automatically be enrolled in our newsletter. All right, Laura, you ready for our next question?
I'm ready. I hope everybody else is ready. This question, actually, I thought was really, really interesting. Bethany in North Andover, she is just got a new job, so congratulations, Bethany. She was just recruited away from her current job with a compensation package she could never have imagined. While she's excited about the new opportunity and the extra money in the paycheck, she's wondering how this company can pay her so much while everyone around her is suggesting that America is struggling. So she really is confused as to how she got this fantastic opportunity she couldn't say no to, and everybody else is floundering.
You know, well, congratulations to you, Bethany. You know, there is a lot of recruiting that's going on. There's a lot of people that are luring people away from companies to go to take on other jobs. And yeah, the sign-on bonuses, the compensation structures that are being offered to people who have the skills, who do the work, who are willing to work the extra hours and not focus as much on work-life balance as they are about actually working. Because that, yes, am I bothered by that work-life balance thing? Yes, I am. And I frankly think that working from home has been unproductive in many industries to the economy rather than productive. Yes, there are industries that will always do well, even with a work from home workforce. But for the most part, we got to get back together. We got to see people eye to eye. We are going to be more productive as a company or as a country, I should say. Look, you can send emails back and forth to people getting angry or being upset. But at the end of the day, an email recipient can just hit delete. That's all you got to do is hit delete. Oh, I'm sorry. I must have missed your email. I didn't see that. When we work with each other, We put the pressure on one another. We can also encourage each other. We can motivate each other to work harder, to work smarter, to be better than what we can be. And Bethany, I bet you're one of those people who the company that you're working for believes in because they're willing to pay you extra. But your question, though, of how can you be excited about getting paid more while you still hear that the country is struggling? Well, what's kind of interesting is there are certain industries today that are really thriving. Apparently Siri decided to hear what I was saying and wanted to jump in as well. But there are certain sectors of the industry that are really thriving, but others that are struggling. And I'll tell you, one of the places that is certainly thriving is the energy industry, for sure. But a lot of companies that are figuring out ways, certainly areas, companies in the financial area, even though the markets are down, financial industries, financial companies and institutions find ways to make money all the time. Now, you might think, well, maybe it's technology companies that are recruiting. Well, some technology companies can, but many technology companies, many companies that are startups where some people wanted to run to and say, I've got to be part of this company. I want to be part of a startup. What kind of shares can you give me? How much ownership can you give me? What kind of VC or venture capital money can we collect? Well, that all sounds good when things are going well. But folks, there's a lot of people that are involved in startup companies right now that could find themselves out on the street because it's not sustainable in this country anymore. I want you to think about another country, company. Think about Peloton. Think about how popular Peloton was during the pandemic. If you really stepped back and you thought to yourself, when people get back to work, when the gyms reopen, when we go back out to eat food and we get out of our homes, how many more Peloton bikes do you really think Peloton is going to sell? Do you think there's going to be a huge demand for people to say, oh, I can't wait to work out from home because it's so much fun and I can work out with my friends on a screen and see each other and actually have a virtual beer afterwards or go, you know, go to the virtual locker room with people? Really? That's not going to happen. You knew Peloton was going to have a nice run up, but we also knew that it was going to drop. Now, am I suggesting that you should have bought Peloton stock or sold Peloton stock? Absolutely not. I don't play that game. I wasn't buying Peloton or selling Peloton. But you have to be realistic about what the trajectory is for a business. There are some businesses, and startup businesses, folks, are huge risks. Huge risks. But there are other industries that are in a position that have far more stability. They have the money to support themselves, to build, to be better, to acquire, and perhaps that's a company where Bethany was going to. Folks, just because some people are getting paid well and other industries are struggling does not mean that there isn't room for success for the industries that are struggling either. They're down right now. Yeah, they're down. Take a look at the hospitality industry. If you're in the hospitality industry right now, it's tough. People, even the people want to travel, people that travel, they go to these resorts. They now go to the resorts, they stay in the hotel, they come back to their room the next later on that afternoon, and their room's not made up. That's because in the hospitality industry, they can't find people to work. Yet while in other industries, there are plenty of people that are working and that they want to hire for. It's a conundrum we're in right now. What I can tell you over and over and over again as I continue to ramble on today, and yes, I'm rambling on, focus on the things you can control. You will find yourself so much more satisfied by focusing on the things you can control rather than just aggravate yourself over the things that you cannot control. All right, Laura, what other questions we got?
All right, this one's coming from Peter from Linfield. And he asks, I've been building up money in my bank account for a while, and I now have over $150,000 sitting there. I've heard you say that I need to keep 3 to 6 months of cash available as an emergency fund, but for me, that's around $75,000. What should I be doing with the rest?
Oh, great question, Peter. I mean, this is you teed this one up really nicely because the emergency fund first is something that I tell everyone to have. If you don't have 3 to 6 months of your expenses in a safe bank account, I don't care if it's earning 0% interest, You need to focus on that first. And let's also remember that our investment accounts are not our emergency fund money. But Peter, it sounds like you've done a great job. You've saved up some money. You've put money aside. You got $150,000 and perhaps roughly $75,000 to invest. Now, many people, if you were to walk into any brokerage firm, any wirehouse, when I say a wirehouse, that's like a Merrill Lynch or a UBS, and you say, hey, I've got money to invest. What would you suggest I buy today? And they might ask, you know, what's your time horizon for that money? Do you need the money in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? How much risk do you want to take? They'll ask you that. But I think there's a question that goes unanswered that we at Friedman Financial focus on understanding first. Peter, you told me you got $150,000. You want to keep money in your emergency fund. That's great. But the first things that I'm going to start asking is, tell me how you've invested your other money. Do you have other money? Do you have money in a 401k? How is that money utilized? Peter, do you own a home? Do you have intentions of buying a home if you don't own one? If you're renting, do you need to use some of that excess money for a down payment for a home in a couple of years? Another question for you, Peter. Do you carry any debts? Do you have credit card debts, student loan debts? Do you have an automobile loan? See, if you had those things, I might talk to you about maybe there's a better way to use that $75,000 rather than investing it and paying off some of your debts. Because there's one thing that I can assure you is that if you are paying 18% on a credit card, and I'm not picking on you, Peter, I'm just saying this in general. If you're paying 18 or 15 or 12% on a credit card and you want to invest your money with the hopes of making 10, 8, 5%, you are losing money. What? What do you mean I'm losing money? Yeah, if you make 6, 8, 10%, even 4% of your money, but you're paying 12, 16, and 18% on a credit card, you are setting yourself up to lose money. The interest you're paying on your credit card is far more. By the way, that credit card rate is an assured rate that they're charging you. There's no guarantee on what you're going to get on your investments. So bottom line, pay off your credit cards first. Even start to pay off your student loan debt if you can. Pay off automobile debt. Mortgage is a whole other story. But let's get your debts in line before we start investing your money. But to your point, Peter, when it comes time to invest money and there's a strategy that we need to take an approach with, I want you to build what's called an asset allocation portfolio. Some money in stocks, some money in bonds. And I'm not talking about individual stocks or individual bonds. I want you to look at mutual funds. I want you to look at exchange-traded funds. Those are called ETFs. Work with a financial advisor. If you don't want to work with a financial advisor, start doing some research. There's plenty of places where you can get some guidance. But the most important question is do you want to put that money in today or do you want to put the money in over time? That's a question that tests your risk tolerance. And until we know the big picture, it's hard to give that guidance. But for now, I hope we've set you up with a little more answers to your questions, some stuff to think about. But we've got to take a quick break. When we're back, we got more questions that Laura is going to toss out to me that we will try to answer. Financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in our fourth and final segment of our show today. Hope you're doing well. It is a beautiful Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. Well, I should say that it's a beautiful Sunday morning. All right. You gave me away once already today, Laura. We don't know that. And Laura's here. You can say something. She smiles and tries to be quiet here.
You don't stop talking, so you didn't give me a break to say something.
You always cut me off anyways.
I try not to do that when you're running your own radio show.
Well, but so we really don't know that it's a beautiful Sunday morning.
It's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. That's what the app said, right? The phone app?
That's right. That's what my phone said. I mean, it's a free one, but so it might not be accurate. My friend Jenny has the paid one, and so hers is more accurate.
We'll have to find out from her, but we're assuming Sunday is going to be sunny. Sunday is going to be a great day. We are taping, yes, this show a couple days early. I am actually taping from home today because, yes, I had to have a procedure today, and so I'm staying at home to tape rather than going into the office. I'm fine. Everything's good. And Laura's looking at me, what are you telling them that for, right?
Yes. Why are you telling them that?
Well, it's always fun. You know, one of the things that happens at Friedman Financial when we work with clients is I always tell people that it's important for us to share our portfolio as much as they share theirs. I ask you a lot of questions when you work with us. We want to know about your family history. We want to know about the relationships you have with your kids. We want to know about money, of course, but we all have to know how it all interacts. And so I oftentimes find it interesting that many financial advisors aren't really willing to tell much about who they are and what they do to build that family relationship. Sometimes they just want to hang up awards that they won this prestigious award or this award from this organization or this sales contest or whatever. You won't find any of that stuff in our office. But what you will find in our office is our portfolio. And when I say our portfolio is pictures of our kids, pictures of our family, pictures of places we've been, so that we can all connect because you want to travel, you want to do things. And you know what? Sometimes we got to go to the doctors. Now, yes, I mentioned that I had a procedure today, but it's a minor procedure. But I just say that kind of as a joke. We share that information. It's okay. It's okay. We are all human. We are not indestructible. We have challenges sometimes. And many of my flaws come out right here on this radio show, don't they, Laura?
They sure do. And just in case anybody's wondering, Mark's largest portfolio is not his children. It would be his Disney collection.
My Disney collection?
Yes, Mickey Mouse is everywhere.
We have Mickey Mouses and gnomes everywhere, right?
Gnomes too, yes.
Gnomes. We have gnomes everywhere in the house. All right. So we're in our last and final segment. We got a few more minutes to answer a question or two. We got a bunch of them. So, Laura, I'm going to leave it to you to pick out the best one here. Which one are you going to ask?
Oh, this is a tough one. Sandy from Swampscott asks, she says, Mark, I've lost $200,000 this year. My account is now worth $1.8 million. I'm getting nervous and I don't want to lose all my money. My advisor told me not to worry, but I've lost $200,000. How can I not worry?
Oh, so much enthusiasm in that question. But you know, thank you for asking that question, Laura, because that is a question that frankly we get in our office every day. Now, you might go, wah, she still has $1.8 million. That's all well and good, but she lost $200,000. And my response to her, as I've the same response that I have to several of our clients, we can't think about, when we're starting to build wealth, when you have $1 million, when you have $2 million, or when you even have $500,000, when you lose an amount of money, it's not nearly as significant as is the percentage. So I want you to think about this. If you had $400,000 and you lost $200,000, would you be concerned? Would you be more concerned? I certainly would be. That would be a 50% reduction in my account. And I would be thinking to myself, man, we are taking far too much risk, or you are taking far too much risk with your portfolio. We would not put our clients in a situation where they're losing that kind of money so quickly. However, though we can't guarantee what the market's going to do, I will tell you that. But to Sandy's point, she says, I had a $2 million account at the beginning of the year. It's down $200,000. Yes, that is a lot of money. I will bet you, Sandy, when your account was worth $1.6 million and your account grew to $400,000, you were celebrating with how much your account went up, $400,000 over a period of time. Maybe it was 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever it was. But now you've lost $200,000. That's more than you've probably made in any one given year, or maybe any 2 or 3 years. Maybe more than you made in the first 10 years of your working years. And you're frustrated. I get it. It is so frustrating, but it's our job to be rational during these emotional times. I want you to think about something. Your portfolio is down $200,000, but it's down 10%. As of, you know, in the middle of June right now, the S&P 500 is down roughly 20%. It's hovered between 21 and 16 or so, depending upon the day that you might look at it. And that's in a very short period of time. But the market in 2020, when we hit the coronavirus, was down 35%. When we had the financial crisis in 2008 and 2009, it was down almost 50%. Your portfolio is only down 10%. Now, if you had bought a portfolio where your advisor told you, you know, we've bought a very stable portfolio, don't expect to see much fluctuation in your portfolio, I would be concerned. I would be concerned, especially since some people have been very surprised with the drop-off in bond values this year, because interest rates have gone up, bond values have dropped down. Now, will they stabilize? Will they likely start to move upwards at some point? Sure, over time. But when interest rates go down, bonds are certain. When interest rates go up, bonds are certain to go down. Do I believe the stock market will rebound in the future in various sectors? Absolutely. What will do better than others? Who knows? But it's my hope, since you did mention that you were working with a financial advisor, and the financial advisor said to you that you were okay, not to be concerned. If you don't understand why you shouldn't be concerned, he needs to bring you into the office. He or she needs to bring you into the office to have a conversation with you. That's what we would do with our clients. I don't want you to feel like you're standing on the ledge of a building ready to jump. I want you to put things into perspective. I want you to see that things aren't nearly as bad as you might think they are. And then there's that other question of, will I lose all my money? Will I lose all my money? That, one of those issues of, how is that possible? I want you to think about this. Losing all your money happens when you buy potentially individual stocks. Yes, because if you bought an individual stock, yes, you could lose all your money. How's your Kodak stock doing right now? Or Polaroid? Or Enron? Or Lehman Brothers? The story goes on and on and on and on. Look, for those of you that have been with the GE forever, how's your stock doing right now? Buying individual stocks is a risky game. But look, if you had bought Apple or Amazon or Tesla or Netflix years and years ago, even though those stocks are down dramatically, you're still making money. Now, am I telling you to go buy those stocks? Absolutely not. I am not saying that. But what I would much rather do is see you put your money into a mutual fund, put your money into an exchange-traded fund where there is a professional money manager who is picking and choosing what stocks to put in that portfolio. They're making decisions on whether they should spend $10 million to buy Google, while you're maybe making a decision, should I buy one share or a fraction or a share of Google? The only way you go out of business, the only way you lose all of your money when you invest in mutual funds is pretty much every company in America would have to go out of business. And if that happened, we got far bigger problems. You wouldn't be driving a car. You wouldn't even be able to, look how hard it was to get toilet paper in 2020. Toilet paper would be out of the question. No one's manufacturing toothpaste or chairs or gasoline or food. All those companies would have to be out of business. We'd all go back to our own farms and growing our own stuff. Folks, I don't think that's happening. I don't think you need to be concerned about that. If you invest wisely, if you invest for the long term, if you have a plan in place, which means that you understand where everything is and what everything is worth in your life, that you know how you're spending your money and you know what's coming in, that you understand how much goes out of your household every month. And I will tell you this, it's a great exercise for you to try. And sometimes I know you don't want to know how to do it, or you don't want to know what that number is. But the truth is if you don't know that number, if you don't know that number, if you don't know where your money is invested, if you don't know what you own and what you owe, and frankly, if you don't have an objective voice to talk to, you may be heading down a path that could be challenging for you. And right now, these are challenging times. I am incredibly optimistic on the future of this country. I'm incredibly optimistic for the future of American innovation and investing in America. I do think Europe will fall behind us. They will catch up too. They're going to be a little slower to catch up. I think the opportunities that exist in some of the most underdeveloped countries, India, China, Brazil, will have great opportunities in front of them. And putting a little money into some of those areas and those regions might make sense for you. But you have to be patient. You have to focus on the things you can control and not worry about the day-to-day noise. It's tough. It's difficult. And I'm here to provide that financial advice in a language you can understand. I want to thank my wife, Laura, for joining us today. Laura, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been fun. We've been hanging out in our bedroom, taping this show, as we said earlier, because that's the best we could do today. We couldn't find a place that wasn't any more echoey. This was the best location we could find. We are here, and we'll be back next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning in to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planning planner, tax professional, or attorney prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents'. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.